Later today, our time, Britain will vote on whether to take military action against ISIS targets in Syria. Prime Minister David Cameron announced that Parliament's sitting hours will be extended to debate the bombing campaign before a vote is taken. Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn is allowing his MPs a conscience vote on the issue, but he's criticised the government's decision not to hold a two-day debate, said that David Cameron should stop this rush to war. Britain currently conducts surveillance and intelligence missions over Syria, but in the wake of the Paris attacks, David Cameron has pushed for Britain to extend its role in the fight against ISIS. If the vote in the House of Commons goes through, Britain could begin launching attacks on ISIS targets within hours. Peter Kilfoyle is a former Labour MP and a junior defence minister in Tony Blair's government. He joins us from Liverpool this morning. Peter Kilfoyle, welcome back to RN Breakfast.
Glad to be here, Fran.
What's your view? Should Britain get involved with military action against ISIS in Syria?
Well, as I said in a letter to the Guardian newspaper today, if I was still an MP, I'm retired now, but I would certainly vote against this on virtually the same grounds as we voted against, or I actually moved the amendment against the war in Iraq, because I do believe that David Cameron has yet to prove a case for Britain being involved in Syria. It's all very well and good for him to say, well, you know, the Americans are there, the Russians are there, the French are there. I think there may be some Australian involvement, certainly Canadians
there
are
there. There is, yeah.
Yeah, but I, as far as the UK is concerned, we took a view 12 years ago, and it's almost like a repeat of the situation where people do not believe the assurances and the outline that's given by the government. They do not believe, and I certainly don't believe, that they've had a thought through strategy, and we're getting the full story. And last but not least, there appears to be no preparation for the various outcomes of this kind of in intensified bombing campaign, which could include falling out with other countries in a very packed theatre of war, but would certainly include collateral damage on an enormous scale
with
civilians.
Is the difference, Peter, in this case than in 2003, that the bombing campaign is aimed at ISIS? ISIS is not a government. It's not a government in Syria. It's a rogue actor, I guess you could call it, and it's an actor that is taking direct aim in Syria, of course, against the Assad government and others, but also against Western targets now, as we saw in Paris. So it's easier for a government to perhaps say to the citizens of Britain that you are a target now of ISIS, just as the way they saw that Parisians were a target.
Yeah, you won't bomb out an idea, an ideology, reprehensible and horrific though it may be, and it is. It's a dreadful approach to matters that ISIS hold. But having said that, they won't be bombed out. These are not the normal military targets. They generally use small weapons.
Well, these guys are pretty well armed. I mean, they've got plenty of American weapons that they've garnered from the Iraqi forces along the way. There's no sense that they are lightly armed. They've got trucks full of explosives.
But lightly compared to a conventional army,
yeah,
which has got armored vehicles and tanks galore, which has obviously got aircraft and allegedly very sophisticated weaponry. But the point is that you snuff it out in one place and it bobs up in another. We're not actually dealing with the root causes. Jonathan Powell, who was the chief of staff to Tony Blair, made a very good argument today for both waging war on ISIS, but also to actually try and open up some channel of communication so you can get a political settlement as well as a military one. You won't get you won't get a military settlement on its own.
But how can you get a political settlement with a group like ISIS that isn't elected, has no real official political standing in a country like Syria, and has a goal that is completely in its vernacular faith-based, in that it wants to create a caliphate? It is not a political exchange, is it?
Well, again, I'll quote Jonathan Powell, who's more expert because he dealt with the IRA in negotiating the Good Friday Agreement. And he quoted example after example around the world, the most latest being the FARC in Colombia, of how you deal with these terrorist movements. And at some point, you have to talk to them. You will not defeat them militarily. And what you will do, you will create more and more martyrs and more jihadists. That's the real danger.
Well, Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, he's a veteran anti-war campaigner. Are you surprised he's allowing his MPs a conscience vote on this issue and in turn almost certainly handing David Cameron the majority he needs to win? Or didn't he have any choice in this? Was a mutiny in the ranks?
I don't think he had any choice, to be honest. He's not my cup of tea as a party leader, but he did get an overwhelming mandate, and we're faced with this ridiculous situation where he's got an overwhelming mandate amongst members, but he doesn't have a total support of his parliamentary party. Now, this is bound to be a recipe for chaos.
Overnight, Peter, go on.
No, I was just going to say it left him certainly in this situation over a barrel, and he certainly had to allow a free vote. Otherwise, he would have had wholesale rebellion, which would have further added fuel to the fire.
Mm. In news overnight, the US announced it's going to deploy an increased specialist expeditionary force to Iraq, more special forces on the ground to carry out what they call unilateral missions. Do you think that announcement is likely to influence, or perhaps the timing of it designed to influence the way the British MPs vote today, with this notion that the US is getting in more there, more presence there?
If it does, I would hope that people will appreciate that this is the first steps of what's traditionally known as mission creep. I noticed Gary O'Donoghue referred to it as intensification, which is another sort of misnomer. Well, it's not a misnomer, but it doesn't really do justice to what's happening. And it's an increased involvement. And I think that there's nothing that would jar more with Western nations, their electors, as well as their governments, than to see body bags coming back. We've seen how the Russian involvement has started to escalate, and they've actually got troops on the ground now, allegedly to look after their air base, but they were also involved in trying to retrieve one of the downed pilots, you may recall. Mm. And now you've got the Americans putting boots on the ground. I think it'd be a matter of time before other Western countries will be requested to put boots on the ground.
Okay.
And that would be a very dangerous path.
All right, Peter Kilfoyle, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
Peter Kilfoyle, he's a former Labor MP in the British government, junior defence minister in Tony Blair's government, and Australia, of course, still hasn't agreed to bombing missions of ISIS over Syria, and there's been plenty of talk in recent weeks about whether we should have boots on the ground.